Turn with me now in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and probably for many of you, the first time you ever heard this scripture, it was not from the pulpit, because not many preachers preach from Ecclesiastes. It's not one of your go-to books to preach from. The first time you heard this song was probably on the radio, either in the 1960s, or in the movie Forrest Gump, when you heard a group by the name of the Byrds. Roger McGuinn, lead singer, and played a really cool 12-string electric guitar. And they sang this song, "To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time for every purpose under heaven." So let us read this scripture this morning. Let's read it together. Let's not sing it together, but let's read it together. Beginning with verse 1. Here's the thesis statement of the whole passage. "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. What gain has a worker for his toil? I've seen the busyness that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart so that he cannot find out what God has done from beginning to end. I perceive there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man." I ask you to keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's word. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall endure forever. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this insight and revelation from your word this morning. We pray that your spirit and your word will work together to help us to better understand and then live our lives in light of what you've given to us, the gift of time. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever taken a class in art or looked at one of those drawings, one of those brain teasers? I call it the old versus young face illusion. I have a picture of it here. You see this picture of what looks like, at first look, it is a really ugly old lady with a wart on her nose and a big Jay Leno chin. But then you take a second look, and what you see is a really pretty girl with a turned-up nose and a bonnet on and ribbons coming out the back of the bonnet. Now, so what is it? Is it a picture of a ugly old wart-nosed lady? Or is it a picture of a cute girl? Well, it depends on how you look at it. You see, perspective is everything. As with that drawing, so with life. You see life as you look at life. And so the writer to the Ecclesiastes, the Koheleth, the gatherer, the quester, wants to give you a perspective on life. Now, there is a way of looking at life. It's mentioned several times in Ecclesiastes. It's called looking at life under the sun. It's repeated over and over. And looking at life under the sun is basically this. It's looking at life disconnected from God, disconnected from the Lordship of Jesus Christ, disconnected from how God is in control of our lives. It's looking at life unplugged. Now, what Koheleth means to tell us is that when you try to find meaning and purpose in life apart from God, It is an exercise in futility. It's sort of like going to McDonald's expecting to be served the lobster and steak with all the trimmings. You know, if you look at life the wrong way, you're going to end up frustrated, disappointed, and discouraged, and then you die. But there is a right way to look at life. Notice this first sentence, this first verse. For everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose. Now pay close attention to that last phrase, under the heavens. In other words, looking at life from God's perspective, looking at life in relationship to the Lord, looking at life through the lens of God's Word, seeing life as it really is, because what you have open before you this morning is the lens through which we see reality rather than illusion. See, God wants us to see life from His perspective. Not under the sun, but from the heavens, under the heavens. And if we're going to see life from God's perspective, if we're going to see our role in God's plan, there are two realizations we need to come to. Two realizations, and the first one from the text is this. We need to realize the all-inclusiveness of God's plan. The all-inclusiveness. Notice it says, for everything. See how inclusive that is? For everything, there is an appointed time, and there is a time for every event under the heavens. God's perspective. God's plan is a blanket that covers not just some things, not most things, but all things. Now, people properly refer to, beginning with verse 2 through 8, as a poem about time. After all, the word time in just a space of 8 short verses, the word time is used 31 times. Now, of course, to talk about time is to talk about the very stuff of which life is made. Have you noticed in your conversations how often the word time makes frequent visits? What time does church start? At Lakeland. Later on, you'll be either looking at your watch or shaking your watch to make sure it's working. You'll be saying, isn't it time to go? In school, what we all dreaded hearing was a professor or a teacher walk in the class, say, take out a clean sheet of paper, it's time for a pop quiz. We all enjoyed that, didn't we? See, the word time shows up with great regularity in our conversations. But what is time? What is time? One of the best secular definitions I've run across of time, let me share it with you, is this. Someone says, and I read this several places too, time is a stretch of duration in which things happen. Think about time as a stretch of duration in which things happen. In other words, you take a 24-hour time period, this stretch, this duration. You shower, you put on your clothes, you go to work, you go to school, you make phone calls, you text, you email, you eat, you sleep, you interact with people, and all that happens during that duration, that space known as time. And as far as an under the sun definition goes, that's really good. But let me share with you something that I think will help alter your view of time, and that's this. This is the Bible's description of time. Let me share this with you. I'll say it a couple of times, so if you're taking notes, you may want to jot this down. Time is a stage. Time is a stage on which the script of God's plan unfolds. Time is a stage on which the script of God's plan unfolds, and it is an all-inclusive plan. He leaves nothing out. And with the permanent ink of His sovereignty, God has written out a script for the life of everybody in this room. Every event, every activity you engage in is written into this script. It is played out on this stage called time. Now, to underline, to highlight, and put in bold print, The fact that our lives are living out the script that God has written for us. God begins with the bookends events of our lives. Notice verse 2, a time to be born, a time to die. Both are appointed. Think about this. You know, I was thinking today, especially, when it comes to your birth, you and I had absolutely no say-so when we were born, where we were born, who our parents would be, and in what conditions we would be born. You see, all of that is written into God's script for our lives, and that script was written long before we came on stage. We are born by God's appointment at God's appointed time and God's appointed place. And the other bookend, we die by God's appointment. I read just this week that the experts in the field of health says that if we turn 40 and we are X number of pounds overweight, we, key word, we will take off 3 years of our life. Now, don't get me wrong. I agree we should stay, you know, within our bounds as far as eating and exercise and all that's concerned, but the length of our days is not in our hands. Again, I have nothing against people who eat a healthy diet and have a regimen of exercise. Some of my best friends eat well and exercise. And I love them. I accept them just as they are. You go right ahead. In fact, I'll go so far as to say you can improve the quality of your life through good choices when it comes to diet and exercise. But hear this. The length, the duration of your life is by God's appointment. You can improve the quality, but the quantity is set by God. When I lived in Hattiesburg, as the father of one of my students, he was in his late 30s, maybe early 40s. This man was the picture of health, low body fat ratio, jogged several miles a day, didn't smoke, didn't drink, didn't chew. He was a... you know, a real picture of health. He watched his diet. One day he came back from jogging. He walked into the kitchen and he fell dead. The next day I was in a diner with Roy Taylor, senior pastor down there, and there were several men that were talking about, well, he died because of this, he died because of this, he died. All of a sudden this man who had been in ministry for like 25 years, he couldn't take it any longer. He walked over the table. He said, sorry, but I overheard what you were saying. I want you to realize this man died because he had an appointment with death. And God keeps all his appointments. Friends, our times from birth to death, from the time we walk onto the stage to the time the curtain falls, the lights go out, and we walk off, our times are in the hands of our sovereign God. You know, how humbling, how encouraging it is to know that as you look on your life, there are no random events. There are no chance happenings. From God's perspective, from cradle to grave, everything is by God's design. Everything is according to God's purpose. For it says there is a time for every purpose under heaven. Now, don't get me wrong. We make choices. We make choices. Time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. I was talking to a man who had been in the pastorate for a long time, and then he became the director of a funeral home. I asked him, I said, so how you like it? He says, you know, I really like it. For 25 years, I tried in vain to straighten people's lives out, and now at least when I straighten them out, they stay that way. Look at verse 7. There's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. You know, how many times, really, look back on some of your conversations. How many times have you wished there was someone beside you going, psst, don't say that? Or, you know, you really need to speak up. I look back on my life, there's times when I've been a total wimp. I should have spoken my mind. There's other times when I gave people a piece of my mind I could ill afford to lose. When I read the last part of verse 6, a time to keep, a time to cast away, I think about the decisions we make at home. You know, Carol and I have a choice. We can either throw away some clothes, we can host a garage sale, or we can remodel the house. But that's a choice we make. Now, this list that we see includes decisions that we make, choices we make, choices that have consequences, but everything is according to God's plan. What you have here in the Bible is an interesting interplay between divine sovereignty and human responsibility. Think of yourself looking down a railroad. This rail is divine sovereignty. This rail is human responsibility. They do not come together in our minds. You look down the rail, though, and you see those lines seem to converge. That will happen. One day we will figure out the interplay between divine sovereignty and human responsibility. But until that day, don't try to figure it out. It'll give you Excedrin headache number 47. But what I want you to realize is this. If you deny that every event and every activity that happens on the stage of time, if you deny that that is not according to the script God writes, you are denying the sovereignty of God. And friends, to deny the complete control of God over everything in life is to rob yourself of a great deal of comfort, encouragement, and confidence. Listen, either God has a plan or we're bottles washed up on the beach of life by the tides of chance. And friends, if we're orphans left at the doorstep of existence by a mother named evolution, we have every reason to be depressed and discouraged. But you see, instead, we can praise God this morning. We can thank God because His plan includes our lives. As a matter of fact, if you're a Christian, you need to be doubly thankful and full of double praise because not only are you in God's plan, but you are also included by grace in God's family. See, God has this grand plan. It's much bigger than you and me. It was written out before time began. God planned to draw a people unto Himself, to live with Him forever, to live one day in a new heavens and a new earth that will be spectacular beyond your wildest imaginations. God has this plan. That should excite you. It should light your fire. It should motivate you to face each day, to wake up and say, Lord, I look forward to the plans You have for me today. Lord, I'm thankful that Your all-inclusive plan includes me and that You've given me an identity as being one of Your children by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How great is that? That's why Jeremiah says, I have plans for you to give you a hope and a future. That's your identity. To see life from God's perspective, we need to understand that God's plan is all-inclusive. Now notice the second realization we need to come to, and that's this. Not only do we need to realize the all-inclusiveness of God's plan, but notice in the second place, we need to realize the practical design of God's plan. So not only does God's plan include everything, but God's plan has a practical design. This is a coin with two sides. Notice one way that God's plan affects our lives is this. Sort of interesting here. God has a plan designed to frustrate you. To frustrate you. Look at verse 9. It says, what gain has a worker from his toil? That word gain, that's an accounting term. See, what you have is a list of opposites. 14 positive, 14 negatives. 14 positives, 14 negatives cancel out each other. You know what the net result of that is? It's a big fat zero. You see, we're frustrated because it seems we can never get ahead. By the way, verse 9 would be a good verse for you to remember when you're paying the bills. Because it seems like you never get ahead. Have you noticed there is always more month than money? No matter how much money you make. And look at verse 10. I perceive there's nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. And it says in verse 10, it says, I've seen the busyness that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. In other words, God is keeping you busy with busyness. You're busy, but sometimes doesn't it feel like a narcotic sort of dulling your senses to the fact that when all is said and done, you're just being busy? But God does something else. Look at verse 11. It says, He has put eternity into man's heart. Please hear that. Programmed into your heart, into that place where your passions and your desires and your longings and hope are. What your heart is longing for, what you desire in the deepest part of who you are, is something this world in which we live right now does not provide. See, God has purposely rigged this world to frustrate you into realizing this. Here's the realization. What you really want this morning, in your heart of hearts, in your passions and your desires, what you really want is something nothing in this world can provide. C.S. Lewis put it this way, if I find in myself a desire which nothing in this world can satisfy, it must mean I was made for another world. Friends, life this side of heaven is frustrating, it's confusing. Sometimes you can't figure out what God has done. That's the last part of verse 11. God has designed life to be frustrating. Why? To push us to the point where we long for eternity. But notice another part of that practical design is this. God's plan is designed to give us a healthy reverence for God. Look at verse 14. I perceive whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God has done it so that people will fear before Him. And then look at verse 13. Important phrase here. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. And notice this phrase. This is God's gift to man. You may want to underscore that word, because what Ecclesiastes is saying is that all of life, life that we enjoy, life itself, is nothing less than a gift sent down from heaven, hand-delivered every day to your doorstep. Think about it this way. Every breath you take, every beat of your heart, everything is God's gift to you. Nothing you have is a paycheck for services rendered to God. God will tell you, you don't deserve anything from Him. God doesn't owe you one more beat of your heart. Life, everything in life is a gift from God. And by the way, when you realize that, I'm going to tell you, when you realize that everything in your life, everything, when that takes the longest journey you'll ever take, you know what that journey is? It's the journey from here to here. When that truth takes that long journey, then you will begin to reverence and adore and worship God. So notice God does something else besides giving us the gift of life. Notice in verse 11, He says, He has made everything beautiful, but notice this, in its time. Now I want you to think about something here. Picture your life story, as a long tapestry. Okay, from God's perspective, looking down on the tapestry, your life's mosaic is beautiful. Every thread is just as it needs to be, and the complete picture is something awesome. But here's the tapestry. Here's what God is seeing. We're down here looking up at the underside of the tapestry. Folks, if you've ever done needlepoint or tapestry, you know what the underside of tapestry looks like? Ugh. It's knotted. It's gnarly. A lot of loose threads hanging down. Doesn't that describe your life? But then one day, you're going to be on the other side of the tapestry. In heaven, you're going to see what that tapestry looks like, and you're going to go, wow. And it's going to take your breath away when you look back on your life from this perspective. Until now, God wants you to look at life through the eyes of faith. One day, with your own physical eyes, you will see that whatever has happened in your life, that God makes all things beautiful in His time. And friends, to illustrate to me the just incredible biblical illustration of the beauty God brings out of ugly realities in our life, God says, I want you to look at the tapestry of the history of this world. And there's this one thread running through the tapestry of history. If you look real closely, it's a dark thread. It's a thread dripping with blood. A dark thread dripping with the blood of Jesus, God's Son, as He hung on the cross. Friends, there's no doubt about it. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ was dreadfully ugly. But from God's perspective, because of that dark thread of Christ's death woven in the tapestry of time, life is beautiful for everybody here today who believes that Jesus died for your sins and rose for your justification. Think about it this way. If God can bring a beautiful tapestry out of the brutal murder of Jesus, don't think for one moment that God cannot weave the dark threads of your life into something beautiful. Many of you know who Corrie ten Boom is. Survivor of the Nazi Holocaust, author of The Hiding Place. If you haven't read the book The Hiding Place, you should. She has this poem she wrote in her later years I'd like to share with you. It's called The Weaving. Listen to what she says as she looks back on her life. My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I cannot choose the colors. He weaveth steadily. Oft times He weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget He sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why the dark threads are just as needful in the weaver's skillful hands as the threads of gold and silver and the pattern He has planned. In His time, God makes all things beautiful in His time. Lord, please show me every day as You're teaching me Your way that You do just what You say in Your time. And we know that because God did just as He said He would do in the life and the death, the resurrection, the ascension, and one day the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, help us to realize this day that life is an unfolding of the sovereign script You have written. That everything in our life is by Your appointment. It is according to Your plan. It is for Your purposes, and we are privileged to be part of that plan. Lord, in the frustration of life, help us to long for eternity when everything that is wrong with our lives will be made right. Help us to reverence You for the gift of life. And Lord, in the tapestry of our lives, as knotted and gnarly as life looks, help us to realize that You are weaving together something that is absolutely, breathtakingly beautiful. Help us to see our times from Your perspective. To everything, there is a season and an appointed time for every purpose under the heavens. Help us to see life that way. In Jesus' name, amen.